Hi, my name is Saptak Sen. I'm a technical product manager at Microsoft's big data team. With me, I have Bill Ramos.
Hi, I'm Bill Ramos. I'm a consultant with Advaya Incorporated, and I'll be the demo master for this presentation here.
Okay.
So Saptak, let's get into it.
Okay. So in this presentation, we are going to focus more on the visualization part of it. In the last presentation or the module, we focused much more around connecting to all the different pieces of data, shaping them, cleaning them, and combining them into a model. Now we are going to consume that model for visualization. So that's what the agenda is. So to be able to do that, we are going to use a few capabilities in the Microsoft BI suite, specifically Power View. Now, Power View is a very, as the name suggests, powerful way to visualize, and you can do it in Excel as well as in SharePoint. And then we are also going to look at Power Map, which is brand new. It's right now in preview, but it's still available as a free download, as an add-in to Excel currently. And you can use that to visualize geospatial data pretty spectacularly. And with that, let's dive into Power View a little bit more. Now, the cool thing about Power View is, you know, Power View can very naturally consume Power Pivot models. So we saw the Power Pivot models that we built in the last session. Now, we can create a visualization, or any data analyst or a data scientist can do self-service BI, which is, you know, many different kind of charts, graphs, and map-based visualizations right into Excel. And once they create that kind of visualization, and mind you, all these visualizations are interactive. These are not static JPEG or GIF images. These are interactive and connected to the data behind. Now, once they have created those kind of visualizations, then they can publish it onto SharePoint, whereby you can get to those visualizations, you can interact with those visualizations, even without needing Excel. And not only that, you can then embed those visualizations into PowerPoint. Now, think of a scenario where, you know, your data scientists have created this cool visualization of your data, which very appropriately explains the key insights into the data to its audience. Now, let's say you are taking this visualization of around data insights to your senior management and trying to present it. Now, obviously, the senior management might have some questions which you might not have anticipated. So in previously, what used to happen, even within Microsoft, what used to happen is that we would go back, work on those visualizations, and only be able to come back next week and sometimes next month to the senior management with those visualizations. With Power View, because of its interactivity and because it's embedded within PowerPoint, I can then and there, with a couple of clicks, get to that insight to answer the questions of the senior management or my peers in the meeting itself. So let's look at some demos around it. Bill?
Okay. So first off, I'm going to show Power View and what it's capable of doing to show the data. Now, if you recall, in our previous session, there were three main files that we had, where we had the census data, employment data, and then we had our crime stats that is now set up to show the crime in a county. And so what I'd like to do is show you how you'd visualize that data within Power View. So let's go to the display here. To start Power View, you go to the Insert menu, and then you'll see in the middle of there, Power View Reports. By clicking on Power View Reports, it will go ahead and load up the Power View display. Now, at the top of our Power View fields area, we have our three main views that are tables that we had set up in our Power Pivot model. What I want to do is look at county crime here and see how county crime is set up in two particular states. But first off, we'll go ahead and take our state information, and we'll take our crime data, which is right down here. We've got our total crime. And you can see here that Power Pivot very quickly added our data in. Didn't have to do anything special. I can click on the columns to see what's going on here. And you can see, for example, California has the most crime, followed by Texas, Florida, and so on. Interesting insight there, if you didn't know before. So the next thing I want to do is now bring in our county information. And then with our county information, at this point, we can actually display a map. And I'm going to go ahead and click on the map visualization here. And what this is doing is it's going out, because it doesn't have the latitude and longitude information, it's actually trying to determine all these, where each one of these counties are based on the combination of state and county.
How come there are U.S. crimes in Europe?
How come? That's a good question. Well, Petersburg. You can imagine St. Petersburg or Russia or whatever. I'm guessing there is a county there that got looked up on Bing, and that's why that's there. Now, to rectify that, what I can do is, because I have the latitude and longitude, I can take my latitude and drag that on in there. And notice how everything will kind of shift to Europe. Woo! Because we need the longitude now to actually map
the
two together.
That's the Greenwich Mean Time. Basically.
That's the Greenwich Mean Time, yeah. So there we go. Now we have all our crime in the United States. Woo! Okay.
Got our crime back.
Got our crime back. Now, the next thing I can do is I can actually add a filter on my data. And so I'm going to take my state here and drag it into the filters region, because I want to take a look at two specific states, because they're just kind of interesting when I was going through the data. Because I made my own insights, and I kind of want to share those with you. So we're going to look at Michigan, and we're going to look at Wisconsin here. And again, these are, we're looking at our total crime value for our various counties, and we can see here that our colors are by state. I actually want to change that now, because what I'm going to do, rather than show by state, we have multiple years' worth of data, and so I'm going to take year and drag that in to color. So we can see here how, by zooming in, I'm using the scroll wheel here, you can see how Detroit here in Wayne County is a fairly high crime area within Michigan compared to, say, Milwaukee over here in Wisconsin. Now, what's really interesting is, because I'm looking at total crime, but imagine in a small county where you just have a little bit of crime, things could really get interesting there, because you want to think about, you know, what are your odds of getting heisted, you know, in a particular county. And so what I'm going to do is, rather than show total crime, I'm going to remove this field here, and I'm going to bring in our crime percentage. And you'll see right off the bat, there's this one place up here in Mackinac County that has a very high crime percentage. Now, that isn't really quite right, because we're actually summing a percent value. What we really want to do is average that amount. So we'll go ahead and take the average crime value, and you see it didn't change very much. The other interesting thing is, you'll notice that there's only two data points within the Mackinac County for 2008 and 2006. So somewhere in our data handling, either in the source data or in the marketplace data, would be incorrect. I don't know. I'm guessing I inadvertently filtered it. I'll have to dig. If I was truly interested with the data, I would go ahead and find that out. So that's charting out data so that, you know, depending on what you're looking at, percentage of crime or total crime, you can get a different view on that data. One of the things you might want to do is be able to define, you know, kind of look at the data in a different light. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to take my state here and drag it in, and then I'm going to take my population just to kind of see overall what I'd have in terms of the difference between Michigan and Wisconsin. And we can see here there's, you know, you'd expect quite a few more people in Michigan. And I can go ahead and create a bar chart from that and see my results. Now, what happened is I clicked on Michigan, and it automatically filtered the data based on Michigan in the chart because we're using the same data source in the model. So likewise, if I click on Wisconsin, I see the Wisconsin
data. So you mean
data.
To say all these different pieces are linked?
All the data that I have in these two charts are linked together. Now,
that's amazing.
In actuality, though, there is a little bit of fudging going on because one of the things that ideally what I'd do in the model is I would have combined my census data with my crime data and so on into one single model, but I didn't do the relationships on that because that data ninja thing that we did earlier was pretty grueling, and I don't want to continue on with that. And so took a little shortcuts, but because of this data being linked, it allows me to set my filters here based on the chart. So if we go back to the demo screen here, we can see what's going on. Okay, so an example of not linked data. Let's go ahead and create a new chart. So I'm going to go and click.
One curious thing, Bill, have you noticed? This whole layout looks kind of like PowerPoint.
It does. In fact, I could do state crime for, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin. And, you know, sort of set that up. There's a capability to actually save as a PowerPoint slide. So I could actually, you know, save that off as a PowerPoint slide, either, you know, like so. In SharePoint, it'll actually refresh. I can actually interact with the chart in PowerPoint, which is really cool. So it just brings it up as an ActiveX control that will allow me to embed this information in.
Yeah, a little bit of trivia. I mean, inside Microsoft, often we refer to Power View as slides for data.
Slides for data, yeah.
That's
a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
So that's a real quick how to create charts. I can add additional Power View charts if I wanted to for different ways that I wanted to do the data and essentially build myself out down at the bottom here, kind of a presentation of how I'd want to display the data and share it with other people. So that's it for Power View.
Now, wasn't that awesome? But we have more awesomeness coming your way.
I have to chuckle. That's okay.
In terms of Power Map, now Power Map provides you a way to visualize geospatial data in 3D. It, in fact, uses the same 3D rendering engine as, you know, some of the most popular games use. It uses DirectX 3D under the hood. So it takes advantage of the full power of your GPUs in your machines and so on, and lets you create this awesome fly-throughs across your data. So, you know, there are different data insights which couldn't be kind of strewn across the globe, and you can create essentially a movie where you are flying through like Superman from one place to another and diving into these data insights and then flying to the next place and so on. And once you have created that, then you can export it as a movie. Not only that, as part of creating that, you can have multiple layers, and each of the layers could be telling a different data stories, and let's look at that in action.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is show you how to use Power Map to kind of navigate your data. So let's go ahead and flip over to the demo screen now. So when you start up Power Map, which is also called the GeoFlow Preview, you get this nice view of the world, which you can actually pivot the data around or pivot the world around and rotate it and things like that, zoom in and zoom out. But without any data, it's kind of useless. So the first thing you need to do is define the geography that you're going to use for your data. And so I'm going to go ahead and click County, Lat, and Lawn, and say map it. And so what this does is arbitrarily map all the discrete data points where I have my data. Now, it's kind of interesting. I guess I have another data quality issue here, SEPDEC in Illinois. It's a big hole of lack of data here. So I'll have to figure out what's going on there. But what I want to do now is I can now indicate a bar that represents, for example, crime. So if I take my total crime here and drag it into height, now we can see, kind of navigate through my data. Here we are in Michigan, you know, kind of zoom in and zoom out. It's too fun, you know.
You can, you know, cross out that legend.
Oh yeah, let's get rid of that legend there here. Yeah, I've got this duplicate value in
What's
here.
What's going on in LA?
LA? You know that's not, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in LA when it comes to crime. But it's kind of cool. What's out here? Hawaii.
Ah. A little bit.
That's why you have all Hawaii 5-0. Anyway, so this is a bar graph. There are different types of chart types. You can use a bubble. And so you get what looks like, what was the name of that movie with Matthew Broderick where they doing the simulated missile launches and all that stuff?
War games.
Yeah. Kind of looks like a war game plot here. Of course, look over here in Europe. They're free, crime-free zone. But you can also do a heat map, which kind of shows you, based on the heat of the data, where the various crime spots are.
There are red spots.
Yeah, so where there's spots, like... you know, you're at that. In fact, let me change total crime here, remove that, and flip back over to the percentage. Boink. And you see, now we can kind of see the data based on... where it's going on.
East Coast is like...
Yeah, this is like all the places where they do the moonshine and all that stuff, moonshine wars. And then you got Amish country over here. So this is like a tour of the Discovery Channel. Okay, so that's one layer of data, but I might want to superimpose this. I've got my heat map of crime, but I might want to now superimpose a layer. So I'm going to say add layer here. Add layer. And I can select my layer.
That tells you.
Looks like I have a...
And that's the first layer. You have
that's the second,
second layer.
Layer. There's my second layer.
Yeah, now you have to select.
Okay. So now I'm going to do the same thing where I have to... I'm going to take my census data now, and I'm going to take my county, lat, lawn, and say map it. And so that's just the individual points. And now I'm going to take my population... and use that for the height.
And so in fact, what you can do is you can make those pillars thinner and taller. If you go to the settings.
I'm not going to do that, but what I'm going to do actually is add some categories here. And so I'm going to take my age groups and drag those in here. And so, whoa, look at that. So what it's done now is it's taken the population. Yeah, you don't want to poke your eye out with that one there. It's taken the population graph and kind of shows the various categories that we have here within the layer. So you can use that to kind of see, okay, what's that? That's infants, and we can kind of go down here and see what's going on with these different bar graphs. But you can see if we go down to the Mackinac County, well, just kind of past there, this is the place where all that hot crime is. Not much population, right? So like Saptak had mentioned, I could actually go through and film a little video of how to navigate this data. You can see Hawaiian Islands there with its data there, and actually do the fly-throughs and so on to make up a story as we go along.
And is that New Orleans right there in Louisiana?
New Orleans, it's right there. Doesn't seem to have... Doesn't have all the population, but there are some hot crime areas there
based
on the population. But again, by playing around with the layers, I can go ahead and again change my, the crime percentage by removing that and go back to my total crime value and then see how the data is impacted. And so there you see Louisiana kind of picks it up when you go to overall total crime, because they have a relatively high population. So there you go. Geoflow with layering. Pretty cool, huh?
Absolutely.
So
that's the, we saw some of the visualization tools. We spent very little time, but, your imagination is the limit. Only limit here. You can do much, much more and play, do a lot more things. For example, as I was saying, Bill, if there are different layers and you want the underlying layer to show up, there are controls where you can make those pillars thinner or taller, so that you know the layer below shows up much more. So you can do a lot more with this. But with that, that's the end of this module. In fact, if you go and download Power Map, which is in preview right now, so it's a separate download. You can, in Excel 2013, Power View is baked in. You just have to enable the plugin in Excel. And for SharePoint, you can, again, SharePoint has a different add-in, which you can use for Power View. So that's it. Let's go to the next module.
Thank you.